Our world-famous published photographer sitting on the second row. That you know, it's interesting to me, whether it's music or art or whatever kind of art it is, that God excels people here. It's like we have, I don't know how many photographers we actually have in our body. We have several, and they're all gifted. It's like I send in pictures, and they don't even take them. They just send them back. They even give me money not to send anymore sometimes. I'm like, what's up with that? I think it's true. I think what Pastor Tim just said is true. Listen, Happy New Year, guys. Happy 2023. None of you have ever been here before. Several of us that were alive during the 70s, we didn't think we were going to make it here. They had a really popular song back then. One of the lines in the song was, in the year 2025, if man is still alive. Well, guess what? We're still here. And it's a new year. I think that Pastor Tim may have not known he was being prophetic right then, but I'm telling you, insanity is doing the same thing the same way, thinking you're going to get different results. You're not. Guys, have you ever had a wake-up call? I remember I have some friends who've had addiction problems, and they'll even term the day, the month, the year when they woke up. Now, they were already alive, but something changed, and they woke up. Do y'all remember a lot of the older movies? I don't know if this is really true, but, you know, you're in this really tense situation. There's something horrible about to happen, and the only person who can save you has gone into shock. It's like they're just like, and they're not moving, and all this stuff's going on. And so what do? You go over, you start slapping them. Wake up, wake up, wake up. And you shake them, wake up, wake up. Why? Because you need them. They can't freeze. If you freeze, you die. And I feel like in a very loving way, that's where we're at with the Lord. It's like, he's like, I had an encounter with the Lord this week, Monday night. Wee hours of the morning or night, and the encounter really was that way. It's like, wake up, Alan, wake up, wake up. I'm like, Jesus, I'm awake. Thank you. It's midnight. I'm supposed to be sleeping. Guys, it's a time for a wake-up call, and I believe that there's something the Lord's doing that you're going to have to encounter. You know, it's really about your yes. I've been saying that for 2 or 3 weeks, and I think that we don't understand how serious that is. Your yes changes the world. Your yes, my yes, actually makes this year different than last year. But it requires a yes. And there's steps to that. And so the Lord, He did. I in 40 years of pastoring, and I know you hear prophetic people especially, you guys, the Lord will wake y'all up in the middle of the night and you get these amazing dreams or visions and prophetic words and things from the Lord or whatever. 40 years in pastoring, and that's never happened to me. I sleep like a baby because I have a pure conscience and usually sleep deprivation. But I just never have. Well, Monday night, God woke me up. He woke me up with the passage. And next week, we're going to look at the passage. Next week's sort of an exciting week. I hope it's still going to happen. The House of Faith for Women, who we took up money for in the month of giving in November, they're having several ladies graduating the first phase one, and they've asked if they could do the graduation here, and we're like, yeah, of course. So after service next Sunday, several of those young women are going to graduate from phase one, which is a huge life-changing thing for them, right? It is. Thank you guys for helping. And they feel loved here. They feel comfortable here. They know that we're behind them. And so they asked if they could graduate here. I was like, absolutely. So we'll dismiss the service. And it's really no pressure. If you want to leave, then you can. But if you want to stay and be a part of their graduation, they're going to give testimony. And they said it's pretty short, but it's going to be good. And anybody who wants to, let's stay and let's support them, you know. Give them standing ovations. What a great day, because for many of them, they had a wake-up call and they responded. And you've heard their testimonies the other days, 3 or 4 of them. Their lives are changing. It really is about Jesus, isn't it? It's like he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the answer to everything. So, guys, we've had a wake-up call. And here's the part of the wake-up call. Y'all know this verse. It's where we're talking about the shame-free gospel, about the gospel all the time. And Paul must have been crazy. Y'all ever thought about what Paul wrote? He wrote stuff that it's like, well, Paul, you just didn't live today's world. We didn't live in his world. It's the way it should be said. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. And we're defining what the gospel is. It may be a little different definition than what we used to think. Well, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because the gospel, the message, the full message of Christ is the power of God. It's the power of God to bring salvation into your world. Does our world need salvation? People I care about need salvation. They need to wake up. They need to be free from addictions. They need to be free from the lies that the enemy's saying all the time. You're not good enough. You'll never make it. Nobody likes you. You're bad. You're dirty. You're no good. The gospel is the power of God to set people free from the lies of the devil. The gospel is the power of God to set people free from addictions, to set people free from a history of failure, a history of bondage, a history of abuse. The gospel is the power of God, not the power of man, the power of God. And that's what we were, Marion and Lisa and the worship team, they were encouraging us to step into faith and believe in the gospel. The thing is, you've got to see it. We have to embrace it. We have to believe it. And we've been talking about that. So my question is this, what are you saying yes to this year? I've been poking you for a few weeks. I've been setting you up. I'm setting you up for next week, right? You don't know that yet, but I'm setting you up for next week. But I believe the yes originates with God. God's the one who gives us a desire to make a difference in the world. He gives us a desire to be free from the darkness. He even, without God, you wouldn't even know your body hurts. And so you'd destroy yourself if you couldn't feel, because God gave you the ability to feel pain so that you don't destroy your body. Now, some of us don't listen real well, you know, nod head. Stop it. Don't be like me, right? Listen when your body speaks to you, physical body. When it speaks to you, listen. Listen when your spirit speaks to you. But anything good that comes to you is coming from Him. So this yes that God's asking you, what's He asking you to say yes to? It originates from heaven, or you wouldn't even have the desire. In Him, we live and move and have our being. You aren't just a random act of atoms holding together. He's what holds the atoms together. Without Him, we would all just go, poof, you know, like those Marvel movies where people just turn into dust and they disappear. Yeah, without God, that would happen to the world. So guys, we are blessed. We are favored. We are honored by Him. He is the reason we live. He's the breath. He's the air we breathe, right? So what has He put in your heart that you're not saying yes to? Now, it affects all of us. When I say yes, it affects you. When you say yes, it affects me. When we say yes, it affects our community. Is our community in trouble? Yes. Do children need Jesus here? Yes. Do bondages and habits need to be broken? Yes. Do families need to be restored? Yes, 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 yes. Guess who holds the key to the future of this world? You do. We do. And it all begins with our yes, which actually begins with God. Because you can't act on faith. You can't say yes to something that He didn't put inside of you. He puts it in you. Every good thing in you, every good desire, every hope, every time it all comes from Him. And what happens is we get to say yes. And so, when I think of this, when you say yes, a few years ago I was driving to a prayer meeting in Sherwood. The prayer meeting, we started at 5, so it's pitch black, and I'm driving down 167, heading south. And before I got to Jacksonville, I'm just driving my car, and I see a meteor coming across the sky. Like, it had to be pretty big for me to see it at all. And I'm seeing this meteor, and it gets to about right here, and it explodes. And y'all know what welding light looks like? Yeah, it's that blue. And when you're welding, everything is lit up. Everything reflects the light. When that meteor exploded, the whole dark world lit up for an instant. And I was like, what did I just see? Well, you know what happens when you say yes, and then you take a step of faith, walking out what God's put in your heart? The light explodes. A piercing, blinding light explodes into the world that lights up everything. You see, that's what you were created for. That's what we were created for. And you know, in the gospel, you need to understand the power of the gospel is that. It releases the power of God in our world. And so it's like this. God's plan. The gospel is God's plan since before the world was created. He had a plan and He took steps to see His plan come into being. You know what His plan was? It's never changed. His plan was to become one with us. Not just to know us, not just to have us, not just to adopt us, not just that. His plan was actually to merge Himself with humanity. Now, He did it initially with Jesus Christ because He was born a man and fully God. But when Jesus died, Satan had to release us and all of humanity was free to be one with Him. And what happened to that meteor when it hit the atmosphere and it exploded? That's what happens every time you and I say yes to the Lord. It releases energy in the world. That light is only best. You know, why do we have lights for Christmas, you know? Well, you know, if you don't think about it, we think they're pretty. The truth is, light is the best example we can have of the love of God on earth today. It's light. It's not darkness. So God's plan. First thing in the gospel is you agree, God, that's your plan. God, you're good. God, you love us. And Jesus came and He died and He rose again so that we actually could have the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in us. And Jesus said, I pray that the way me and the Father are one, you and me would be one. And if you're one with me, you're one with the Father and you're one with the Holy Spirit. And in the person of the Holy Spirit, we identify that power working through us. But the truth is, it's us becoming one with God. The problem is, we just don't know that. Because, next thing I want you to know is this, when we become one with God, we become the same as He is. Not God. Because you have God, Father, God, Son, God, Holy Spirit. They're the same. They're one, but they're unique. We become the same as He and Jesus and Holy Spirit whenever we become one with Him, but we're us. You see, you can't become one with God unless you're you. That's all you've got. And that's why that was God's plan. God said, I've got this great plan. I want to be one with humanity. And that's what Jesus did. He made it possible for us all to be one with God. Now, next thing you've got to know is you've got to believe this is true. And it's okay if you don't believe it. You'll just be stuck in darkness. It'll be like, you ever tried to run when your feet are in quicksand? It's just hard to run. You've got to believe that you're not bad. Humanity is not depraved. Humanity is just humanity. That's a total difference in what we were taught most of us our whole lives. It's a total difference in what we've been brainwashed with, I believe. Humanity is humans. Let's see. We were created in the darkness's image. No, we weren't. We were created in God's image with a purpose and a destiny. You know what we are? We're like children who are lost. We were lost and He found us. It doesn't say we were bad. You know what depraved means? I dictionaried it, right? It means corrupt, wicked, or perverted. No, that's what happens when you become a slave to darkness. That's not who you are. Ever. That may be what you do, right? I could ask you, what do men do? First thing a man does is, what do you do for a living, Dwayne? Well, Dwayne doesn't really know. He works for his wife. But, you know, it's like, and that's not who he is. He's not the Air Force. He's Dwayne, who works at the Air Force. You're not bad. You may do something bad, but you're not bad. You may do something that's actually depraved, that's actually corrupt, that's actually hurting people. But that doesn't mean you are that. That just happens to be who you're a slave to right now. The problem is the darkness. You don't become dark, but we can be controlled by darkness. You know, it's funny. Paul said, guys, why after being set free would you go back into slavery? And he wasn't talking about physical slavery. He was talking about slavery to the darkness. You see, that's what happens. We aren't bad. We are not totally depraved, corrupt, or wicked. That's where all prejudice and bigotry and every bad thing in the world comes from, this thought. It's not. If I believe you're bad, then I can say you're bad. And now I have aught against you. And I'm prejudiced. And I'm a bigot. No. What if I just say that you were created in God's image? When I see you, I see the Lord. Now that changes my attitude about you. Now, here's the truth. We are human. Okay, I want y'all to say that with me. I am a human. Okay, say that with me. I am a human. You know, Paul's about to say this in 14. Some of our kids were scared. They thought there was a genie in this. They're like, there's no genie in here. The kid, they're not here right now, the one that said that. She was a little scared. There's no genie in the jar. What's in here? I put a lid on it. You don't know. Do you? But you can see what it is. It is a jar. It's just a jar. I can put acid in it. I can put milk in it. I can put gold in it. I can put cow manure in it. But you don't know what's in it. It's just a jar. Well, that's a bad jar it's just a jar. I can put bad things in it, but that doesn't mean it's bad. It's still just a jar. Guys, we're just clay jars. We're just human. You know, it's so funny. God made us out of the dirt. At least He made a man out of the dirt. Women are made out of a little finer material, you know. But He made us out of the dirt. Guys, you're not bad. We're just human. And you know, the thing about being human, we cannot... I don't know if you've figured this out yet. We cannot thrive in our own strength. We can't flourish in our own strength. We're just a jar. Now, jar is important. It's not bad. But without Him, I'll never experience, I'll never live the life God created me to live. You can't do it without Jesus. Now, you know the other truth is, on our own, humans cannot resist the darkness. We cannot resist the lies of the devil on our own. Can't. It's only with Jesus that we can be free from those lies that the darkness keeps telling us. You'll never make it. You don't matter. No one cares about you. You're a loser. You've gone too far. You're stupid. All those lies that the enemy says, we can't resist those lies without Jesus. And guys, we live in a world that doesn't know that. We live in a world that we're convinced that they're bad, not that there's a darkness speaking lies into their life, and they don't know who they are. They actually look inside and they see the darkness and they think they are the darkness. Jesus had a different plan. And without Jesus, we do not have the power to walk in the supernatural. You see, God wants us to fly. He wants us to dig. He wants us to build. He wants us to come together. He's got a release of supernatural power in this world through you and me that He's waiting for us. He's waiting for us to let Him out from inside of us. And we were taught that we're bad and we keep wanting Jesus to come without us. He won't do it. You know, anything that's not God's plan is darkness. God's plan was humanity. He sent his son, a man, fully man. You see, that's God's plan from the very beginning. He was the first, the second Adam of a new race of people. And you and I are that new race. You were created to release the power of God out of your life. And you see, I love this thought, and I know it's not original for me. I don't know where it comes from, actually. Darkness is not bad. All darkness is an absence of light. There's no battle. Jesus isn't fighting a war. He's already won the war. Darkness is just when Jesus isn't. And God created this relationship. It's all about love. The kingdom of God is all about love. Jesus wants in you. He wants in me. He wants to live with me, with Him. And when I live with Him, He releases His power into the world. But he chooses. You see, God has a plan, and we have a plan. You know what our plan is? Willpower. Perseverance. Effort. That's man's will. You know what God's will is? Union. Faith. Relationship. Trusting Him instead of trusting the strength of your right arm. The entire Bible, the entire Old Testament is illustrations proving to us that we can't do it without Him. And our world is trying to convince us that we can live without Him. We've got the technology, we've got the wisdom, we've got the resources. You don't need God to be happy. Ask anybody who's fought those battles with those lies that are deep inside your heart if anything in this world can set you free from those lies. Nothing can. They can dull your pain. They can give you so many pain meds that you can cut your right leg off and you won't even feel it for a while. You will feel it eventually, right? Isn't it cool that Jesus wanted to do something beyond anything our imaginations could ever have? That literally His purpose in the world was to come not just to have an encounter with you, not just to let you feel. You know, I felt it in worship this morning. Did y'all feel it? The warm fuzzies, the chills, the thing that you feel, the presence of God, you know? That's so good. I love that. The peace, the comfort, the confidence, the security, when he drives fear out of your heart and you actually can relax and rest. Those are all wonderful things. But what God has intended for us is a thousand times beyond that. It is that. But there's more. You see, God called us to war. When he did, He's like, Alan, wake up, wake up. He said, it's time to fight. It's time to go to war. I want these people. I want every child in Cabot to be exposed to the gospel. That they're not bad, that God's not mad, that they can have a union and heart and relationship with Him for now and the rest of their lives. And the darkness is not in control. He's in control. The darkness doesn't win. The light always wins. The economy doesn't determine our future. He does. Now that's what every kid in Cabot needs to know. Security, safe, secure, wanted, needed, valuable. I want every kid to know that. And God said, what are you going to do about it? Dang. I just want to feel it. I don't really want to do anything. That'll cost me, God. It'll cost me time. Have any of you ever taken care of children? I was telling Tommy before church, he asked me how Christmas was. I said, exhausting. Those kids wore me out. I'm just not used to 18-month-olds to 14-year-olds, you know. I was like, I want to go home where it's quiet. There's no children. It's going to cost you. Your dream's going to cost you. But God's forming an army. He told me, he said, Alan, I'm forming an army. And I've never preached on this. I love Alan Vincent. One of his main messages was about Gideon, right? Gideon is 300 men who defeated 135,000 Midianites. Judges chapter 6, if you want to refresh your memory. Next week, we'll start talking about that. I believe God's formed a Gideon army for the purpose of setting the captives free. Are you tired of people stealing your inheritance? Are you tired of working and working and working and working and not having anything to show for it? Because even though you have all this stuff, your heart's still no different. Your emotions are still different. Your relationships are still no different. Your children are in worse trouble than they were before. Are you tired of that yet? See, God has a plan, but he needs an army. Not a big army. Not a big army. Gideon fought a battle. It was 4,000 to 1. We don't need a big army. We don't have 135,000 people in our region. Our little pea patch we live in only has about 50,000 people. God's looking for an army. He's looking for people who will say yes. Now, you're going to love this. I have 27 scripture slides now. I love the scripture. This is what sent me there that Lord started with, 2 Corinthians 3:15. Even to this day, when Moses is read, the first five books of the Bible, right? When that's read, a veil covers their hearts. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is a spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. You can interpret that as anything good you want to. It's wonderful where the spirit of the Lord is. And we all, God's Southern, y'all didn't know that, did you? We all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory. We think about it, we dwell on it, we're being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. You see, this is just like what God's asking you to say yes to. It originates with him, not with you. He's the one who gives you any compassion, any desire, any perseverance, any love, any commitment, any values. It all comes from him. Will you say yes to it? And so this is the same thing. God's transforming us with ever-increasing glory, and it comes from him who is the Spirit. We're just clay jars. Remember that. We're clay jars, not bad jars. Like this is actually, I mean, this is my personal jar, okay? So don't mess with it, but it's a nice jar. I love that jar. I've had it for 20-something years. It sits in my office. Now, it's because of God's mercy that we have been entrusted with the privilege of this new covenant ministry. That's the gospel. The old covenant was obey this law and obey that law and obey that law, and blah, blah, blah. You can't. Your own effort won't be able to do it, but you do all that to be able to have God not be angry at you. The new covenant is, I love you. For God so loved the world, he gave his only Son, that whoever calls unto him shall be saved. I just added two verses together. Whoever believes in him shall be saved. You see, the new covenant is just about saying yes. God's proposing to you. Today he's proposing to you. And he wants you to be his bride. He wants you to come in and be one with him. That's what Scripture says. And he's also proposing to you. And Phil Holt and I were talking about the military. I guess you guys are taught you don't volunteer for nothing. Is that what you all taught? Well, God's asking you to volunteer. He's asking you to volunteer. Will you say yes? Doesn't make sense. Gosh, if I say yes, it's going to cost me. Revelations, right? They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. God's asking for a real commitment here, not a little commitment. And it's not death. It's not Zoe life. Zoe life means my physical life. It's psyche life, which means who I am, me. Will you give me to him with no reservations, no holding back, no nothing? Totally give to him. You see, that's a lot, guys. That means, well, but I'm pretty comfortable in the life I live. Good. How's it working out for you? There's more that you've never experienced yet. And you know what's interesting? And we will not quit or faint with weariness. Are you there? Have we been there? Are you tired? Have you been tempted to quit? Have you been going and going and going and going and going and you get tired? You just want to stop. You want to quit. That's what Paul says. You think he didn't understand this in the depths? We probably never will, right? He said, we do. He said, but we're not going to quit. We're not going to faint. We reject every shameful cover-up and refuse to resort to cunning trickery or distorting the word of God. Instead, we open up our souls to you by presenting the truth to everyone's conscience in the sight and presence of God. Well, that must be a really important thing. What Paul's talking about, the truth he's talking about, it must be a really big deal. There was the gospel that he talked about in Romans. Because this truth will bring salvation to the world, Jews and Gentiles. It breaks down every wall of separation in society, male, female, rich, poor, nationality, color, gender, whatever. It breaks down everyone. That's how important this truth is. When we sing those songs, and we sing them with really meaning, we do, about how wonderful Jesus is. That's the name of Jesus. We sang two or three of them today. When you're saying the name of Jesus, what you mean is this. It's not his name. It's the message he brought. And you know what his message was? He just has one. Humanity is valuable to me. Very precious. That vase is so precious to God. And he came with one purpose, so he could fill this vase and be one with it. That's the message that will change the world. Are you willing to throw in? Are you willing to believe that? And you know what's funny? He says, even if our gospel message is veiled, it is only veiled to those who are perishing. It's not, don't read this with a penal substitution judgmental God deal. That's not what it says. If you don't believe this, then you have a veil over your eyes. The darkness has blinded you, and in your blindness, you're going to perish. You're going to run into walls. You won't be able to eat well. You won't thrive and flourish. That's what this is. It's what happens. For their minds have been blinded by the God of this age, leaving them in unbelief. Do you believe God's good? Do you believe you're good? That he wants to have relationship with you? And that living with him is the way to life? Do you believe that? See, some people don't. And when you don't believe that, then you can't resist the lies of the devil. You know what his lies will be? Oh, if you just make enough money, you'll be happy. If you can just climb the ladder in your world, you'll be fulfilled. If you, and then he gets on the other side of the fence, you're no good. You've tried 1,000 times. You failed every time. You're not going to make it this time. Nobody cares about you. Nobody loves you. Nobody's ever loved you. You're stupid. You're ignorant. You're a loser. You aren't worth the money. I can't think of the saying, but there's one thing. You're not worth the gunpowder it'd take to blow your across the street, you know? Those kind of things are what the devil says to you. And without Jesus, you can't not believe they're true. You can't resist him. You can't resist the darkness without the light. But when you have the light, the darkness can't stay. They've been blinded. What are you? I'm a clay jar. I'm a jar of clay in the King James Version. That's what I am. Their blindness keeps them from seeing the dayspring light of the wonderful news of the glory of Jesus Christ, who is the divine image of God. We don't preach ourselves. I'm not saying the jar is Savior. This isn't Savior. It's just a jar. Just a jar. Don't hear me. You can't do it without God. You can't live without Jesus and Holy Spirit. Don't do it. I'm not preaching the jars. I'm not presenting this as salvation. It's not. But it's not depraved either. It's precious. You're precious to Him. How precious? Just like whether you are a lost sheep or lost coin or a lost son, He will give anything to find you. He's never quit looking for you. When we're singing those songs, I'm thinking, Jesus, You saved me so many times from myself. So, we don't preach ourselves, but rather the Lordship of Jesus Christ, for we are Your servants. For God who said, let brilliant light shine out of darkness. God said that. Not Alan, not God said it. You're not bad, you just have darkness and you need light. And you know what God's looking for? He's always looking for the dark because He wants to shine the light. And is the one who has cascaded His light. Guess where God's light is? Us. That word us there, that means you and me. It means humanity. That's where His light is. It's brilliant and it's dawning in the world, and it brings out the glorious knowledge of God as we gaze into the face of Jesus Christ. When you look at Jesus and you see who you really are, when you read about Him in the Scripture, you know it's not just Him, that's who's in you. You see Him, you see the potential in your heart. And now when I look at people, I'm looking for the light in them. Yeah, but they've got a lot of darkness. Yeah, that means they're set up to experience light that the world's never seen. The darker, the better. Because God's going to come. Next week, when we celebrate their graduation from phase one, several of those ladies, guess what? They're going to tell you stories about the darkness and the light. And their stories are going to be filled with the beauty of the light that they've experienced. You know that light. You've experienced it yourself many, many times. We are like common clay jars. What's God looking for? Next week, we'll really get into the Gideon. But I'm telling you, God just needs a vessel. He wants to be one with you. We're like the common clay jars that carry this glorious treasure within. So you know what's in this jar? The one Jesus loves. The apple of His eye, the desire of His heart, the melody in His sonnet. I'm trying to wax eloquent here because I don't like the clay jar I am. Any of you like that? You don't like your jar? You know, like some jars are created for noble things and they're all made out of china and gold and silver and stuff. Other jars are made out of clay and they don't even have the decorations on them. You know, most of us aren't we're not this fancy. We're just a clay jar, common clay jar. It's not about the jar, it's about what's in here. The Israelites, so this glorious treasure within us, so that the extraordinary overflow of power will be seen as God's, not ours. You show Him off the more you show off. Because listen, I know you guys. Y'all know me, right? You know, a prophet is without honor in his own town. You know that crazy saying, right? But when I see Jesus shining in you, He gets even more glory because I'm like, I know Him. I've been with her before. She can get an attitude. Sometimes she acts like not a nice person. No, it makes Jesus shine more. I'm like, yeah, but watch her shine. That's Jesus. Watch them love. That's Jesus. Watch them be patient. Watch them give. Watch them serve. Watch them lead. That's Jesus in them. I mean, I heard Tommy, he picked on my daughter, one of my daughter-in-laws this morning because she used to sing and worship here up on stage. He said, I heard you say that to her. And you know what? It's not her. He saw Jesus in her when she worshiped. I remember when she was 14, no, she was even younger than that. I watched her worship at a kids' camp, not on stage, just worshiping. And I'm like, that's the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. And she was a kid. Her mom used to put a soup bowl on her head and cut her hair. You know that haircut? It's like, okay, but I saw Jesus. Guys, Jesus wants to shine in you. What are you going to do? I have too many more. you can, I started the Gideon story. Because you know why we need this is because we're being robbed every day in our society, in our neighborhoods, in our families. We're being robbed by the darkness. And it's time for a hero to wake up, come alive. That's why I saw that picture, that old comedy routine. I thought about getting one of you guys up here so I could slap you around and wake you up. And I thought, that probably won't work too good, but you know, because I'd probably hit you by accident. But it's like, come on. I just feel like, God, you just slap the fire out of them until they come up. It's almost like when your heart stops and they put those electric paddles on you. That's violent, but you come alive. Guys, we need to wake up. We've got the key to this thing. But it's a gospel that our world hasn't heard. Well, who's going to tell them? We are. So next week, we're going to talk about Gideon. You can go to Judges chapter 6 and read the story. Become familiar with it. That way I don't have to read it all. It's the whole chapter. What is God asking you to say yes to? What's He need from you? Just your yes. That's it. Are you going to join this army? You see, Gideon had 300, and every single one of them were vital to the victory God won that day. 300. And God needs 300. Are you going to sign up? Are you going to volunteer? Next week, we're going to talk about the reasons you don't want to volunteer. We've all got them, you know, we all have them. And you know what? They're all facts. Your reasons are valid. That's living by faith right there. No, that's living by sight and by the logic, reason, and wisdom of this world, which is what's got us into the mess that we're in. Guys, be a world changer and decide to live by faith. Say yes before you know what you're saying yes to. I'm not going to tell you what you're saying yes to yet, but say yes. And I gave you a hint. I gave you a hint. They love not their lives unto death. That's how they overcame the darkness. God needs a people today in our world that loves their lives not unto death. So that's what you're volunteering for. So it's exciting. I hope that God just beats the snot out of all of us until we all wake up. Because you know what? I care about those kids in our world that are being brought up in hopelessness and drug hazy, crazy stuff that don't have a foundation, who don't even know who they are. Listen, I have passion for those children, and we're going to do something about it. I'm going to do something about it, and I'm asking you to help. It's going to be a big deal. Okay? This morning, what's God asking you to say yes to? Let's all stand up. I love Peter Baker. Don't y'all love Peter Baker? Oh, this is the best you'll ever see, Peter. He's not talking. Let's play, Peter. I knew he was about to start talking. Just keep playing, Peter. Someday we're going to have an Olympics. Do you know one of the top sports in America during the late 1800s was called pedestrianism? Y'all know what that is? As you study it, it's amazing. It's walking. But not speed walking, just walking. It was like the Soccer World Cup excitement sport. I know, it's hard to believe that. One day, they're going to create a new sport called talking. And I think Grace Fellowship, we may have some people that could be like Olympic quality people that we could put in that. So Peter would be like on the man's team. He doesn't know. Good, I'm glad he could hear me. Guys, God wants you. You know the first thing God did with Gideon, if you're doing the Judges 6? The first thing he did was the God of peace showed up in his life. Shalom. You know, that's where you begin. That's where you begin with the Lord, is that love. that peace, that embrace. We've all felt it. That's really where you begin with him. That's where you began with Gideon. Gideon named that place, "This is the Lord of Peace." And he built an altar there. Now, you don't go beyond that. You take that with you and you go on. This morning, you know where God wants to start? He wants you to feel what he can do. That's why Gideon named that peace. He wants you to know him. This morning, if you don't have peace, if you're in those battles, if it feels overwhelming, if you feel like the world is caving in on you and you can't get out, come and meet the Lord. And I don't mean meet him for the first time. Come and meet him, and you'll see that he has peace for everyone. That's where we start. And then next week, we're going to take the next step. But this week, it's about peace. Say yes, and the first thing you'll experience is peace. So, Father, I just thank you for your call. I thank you that you never fail. You never leave us. God, you're always there. And thank you for reminding us today of how good you are, God. So this morning, I just ask that you would open up and you'd call. We would all respond, every one of us, God. We'd be an army that says yes. So I really do believe Jesus is calling you home. He wants you to live there forever. So this morning, if you need, would like to, we have two prayer teams up here. I'd love to pray with you and help you to experience the peace of God. Thank you for being here. Next Sunday, remember, I'll try to end early so we can do that graduation. But anyone who can stay and help honor those ladies, it would be a blessing to them. It would put some feet to the money and the gifts we gave them, you know. And it'll be a big deal. So thank you, guys. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. God bless you.